Welcome aboard. You haven't heard from us in a while, but don't worry, we're here. We're still podcasting. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Marissa and Jemmy.
Hey, everybody. It's Chris Jastrzemski.
Hey, folks. How you doing? It's Erie Barrister.
And you haven't heard from us for a while, but that's okay. We're shaking off the cobwebs because, like a month ago, I purchased a fancy new podcast plan on Podomatic that allows us to have a lot more space and stuff because it was like $100 for a $600 deal. So it's like, yeah. And we haven't done anything since then. So it's time. It's time for College Crosscast and finally take advantage of that $99 I spent. And welcome. It's late September and we really should be back in school. And do you remember the 21st night of September? Because this is going to be posted the morning of it. And happy Rosh Hashanah to our Jewish listeners as well. So I think we've covered all the bases of music, references, and holidays. Hope you all had a great Labor Day and never forgot the heroes of 9/11. And I think that we're all caught up to date.
It's good to be back. Good to be back on the pod. How are you doing? Marissa, this is your first September without semester of school upcoming, correct?
Yeah, this is the first time as an adult, officially. It's actually awesome, and I don't miss classes at all, and I miss BU like crazy, but I don't miss the classes, and I'm literally going back to BU this weekend to work for them because I can't stay away, but not being in classes is the best thing that's ever happened to me, so that's pretty great.
Yeah, I'm still in classes, so.
Have fun.
Senior year, baby.
Senioritis is real. Good luck.
I've had it for about 3 weeks now.
Did Chris do the smart thing and just do two 12 credit semesters, front loading it like I did? Because that ended up being clutch.
I think I was too dumb enough to do it, and I did it earlier.
Oh, you got to front load it. I mean, because you're still used to the high school flow of things for your freshman year, so, load up on the courses then while you're still in that, mode of, constantly being in classes, and then just windle down so you only have to do 12 a semester your senior year. That's what I did.
Listen, I think my next semester I only have to do, finish up my minor and take 4 minor classes and I'm done.
See, my senior year was clutch with the 12. Obviously, I did Citrus TV, the student television station at SU, so that took up some time on, one day a week each semester. But then, fall semester, Monday and Wednesday didn't start till 2:30 in the afternoon, and then had class after it, and then I was done for the day. Tuesday was BDJ 465.
So with?
Tuesday. I had the creme dog.
Oh my god, I have it! Yes! He's my advisor too, by the way.
Great guy.
This is unbelievable.
Tell him I said hi.
Okay.
Love the creme dog. So that was by Tuesday. And then Thursday I had, the review class. And then later on in the day, my senior thesis for my other major, history, which was the Korean War. So that was pretty clutch, that schedule.
My last semester, I'm pretty sure I did mostly just internships. One really terrible English class that I detested and didn't really try on in my final paper, I literally tried to seem artsy by not citing any sources and it worked and I got an A on it. But that's the only class I really even had that wasn't some sort of journalistic thing. And then I just ran student radio stuff and they counted that for class for some reason and then I got to leave.
Go beat you.
BU's the best.
Chris, you've had quite an August. Shout out to Love the Eagles stuff, by the way.
Yes. Yep. First was at KYW News Radio. KYW News Radio. 1060.
That should be the intro, I think. But I mean, we'll discuss later.
We'll discuss the intro. Might be on something later on. But yep, doing that for the Eagles training camp in their first two preseason games. Actually, three, because they actually played the two at home. Then it went up here. And started up with Crossing Broad a few weeks ago. We'll have a little nice little segment about those comments later on. And then right now I'm at Spectrum News at their sports department for TV internship.
Cool, cool. They need to bring it back to News 10 now, damn it. That was the best back in the day. The best theme song, the da-na-na-na-na, News 10 now. They need to bring that back.
I don't even know.
Recommend
that.
It at the next meeting. I know it's a little bit before your time. They rebranded to YNN my freshman year, but News 10 Now was so much better in terms of branding. Just my take.
It's a mild take.
Speaking of news, you know who had the biggest news this summer? I think she's with us right here. Marissa, shout out to you. Great. Whoop. I mean, like, let's just start off if people haven't heard. The NLL has added two teams, one in San Diego and one in Philadelphia, and our very own Marissa was one of the first ones to, not one of the first one to write about it. So, shout out to you. How's it going? I know you've been not vindicated so much because we always believed in you, but with the Bloomberg stuff and it all blowing up, it's like, I hate to use talk about it, but like, talk about this whole summer and stuff.
That's your talk about.
That's my talk one. About.
This was like the biggest sin in journalism school.
I get an air horn whenever you talk about.
I'm a fan. It's super weird because, after all, according to Steve Gobbett, I'm just a blogger and not a real journalist. So it's really weird to break a story, I guess. How it started was super random. I haven't covered DNLL in a while, and now I am again all of a sudden. But I was just like, I was watching Game of Thrones, and because that's all I did all summer for the most part. And I was done watching it at, like, 1 a.m., and I had this anonymous tip email of, like, oh, so, you know, I just wanted to let you know before anyone else breaks it, the NLL is going to San Diego and Philly and probably Halifax and stuff. And I just ignored it for, like, 3 days. I was like, okay, this is someone just trying to mess with me, and I showed it to my friends and stuff. And then I forget who it was. Someone told me, oh, maybe just look into that just in case. So I did. And I contacted just a few of the league people that I know, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's happening. I was like, oh, okay, I think I'll just throw this out there just in case. And then everyone got super mad about it, and then it was true.
That's the best part.
I knew it was true because people told me that it was, and then, like, no one believed it, and I'm like, I don't know why, because I broke stories before. And I, like, write for the Boston Globe, who I'm pretty sure is one of the most legitimate news sources ever, so I wouldn't. And also, like, I care about my reputation. I'm 21. I'm covering, like, the NHL and NWHL and, like, legitimate leagues and trying to go forward. So every time people would, like, DM me, it was like, oh, you're so wrong. I was like, why would I put myself out there about it if it was wrong? So that didn't make any sense to me. I was just like, no, that's probably right. If it's not, I'll say it's not, but it's totally right. But yeah, that happened.
See,
I'll just go first.
Yeah, the meat grinder of telling the sources of the story sometimes is as weird as, sometimes stranger than fiction, right?
Well, then, like, some people, like, some certain individuals on Twitter are like, well, if you don't name your sources, then you didn't really report it, whatever that means. But, like, no, I'm not going to say who told me about it, because then they'll get in trouble and they won't tell me any more stuff. And that wouldn't make any sense because I want to know more stuff happening.
Exactly. I'm waiting for Chris to do the verbal subtweet in 3, 2, 1.
No, we're too classy. And we also believe in strict confidentiality. Yes. So why would we ever say anything? As an observer, I was amazed with it was either ignore it completely or like occasional like something like somewhat related with part of the stories or, a little bit of headwind. Let's just put it that way on some certain commenters. But shout out to Teddy Jenner. Did you already jump on his podcast? I don't want to step on that intro, but he actually.
That's going to happen at some point.
I just shout out to him for just taking it seriously. That was the whole point. It was just like you wrote a pretty well-researched piece. I was talking to you over the weekend while you were writing it a couple days, and I was like, it sounds great. You got something to back it up. I trust you and your reporting skills. And I was like, this is why wouldn't we run this? You know, so it was.
No, yeah, Teddy's been super awesome about it, too. And, like, I don't want to say I didn't expect it. I just think the worst out of lacrosse media in general a lot of the time. Like, even the first time I wrote something or reported on something, and it got poached, or like people didn't take it seriously, or no one credited it. So I was kind of used to it. But this is the biggest thing I've ever wrote about was the NLL, or for MLL for that matter as well, I guess. So I wasn't surprised, I guess, when no one took it seriously, but Teddy did, and credit to him, because he's a good journalist and everything, and he has a lot of sources and a lot of clout and everything, so I really appreciated it.
Oh, and just also probably U.S. Lacrosse also, I believe Silva at least wrote about it. So that was my whole thing. I was just like,
well, that's because I kind of write over there too, so they kind of want to back me as well.
Oh, no, for sure. But you know what I mean? Like, that's our whole point. It's just like, it's out there. It's supposed to be a exchange of ideas, and like, this seemed to be well-founded. So
it was IL even credited it in the end, and they never credit anything. So the only person who hasn't now is LSN. But I'm not going to...
ever
we are subtweeting like, left and right.
I don't subtweet. I just say stuff.
She's Robert Griffin. She just writes
out the
name.
A lot of people there. They were super nice. They let me do stuff, but they should have credited me. That's all.
Who, LSN?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they never credit anyone, so, like, why... This is my shocked face.
But, yeah, so the news that Marissa broke, we're going to have the... NLL in San Diego staying classy, back to Philly, and maybe Halifax, which if they go to Halifax...
I'm pretty sure Halifax is happening.
Yeah, if Halifax happens, there's going to be so many Trailer Park Boys references being thrown around. Great show. That's so, Canadian comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Besides the well-merited victory lap, what do you think of the moves? And it seems to be... great support with, you know, big-time billionaire and Mr. Joseph Tsai from Alibaba, co-founder. And shout-out to our parent company, Comcast, who we've been saying this. We've memed it into reality that Comcast got into the lacrosse game. So it's only a matter of time before we're all on CSN. But what do you feel like this is seems to be a position of strength to the league, especially just influx of money?
I'm a little surprised I went back to California, actually, because I keep being told by both leagues that they didn't want to go to California. But, I mean, to have Joseph Tsai come in, that's just a big backbone for the league now. Like, they're all set, kind of. The NLL's not going anywhere. They have major support now. And apparently San Diego is really into it, and, like, Bill Walton's into it, which is super cool and super weird. But they seem happy about it, so I think it's good to be in a new market. Last time they were in Southern Cal with Anaheim, it didn't work out, but the league's in a much different position, and they're just, like, they're not just expanding for the sake of it like they used to, they're taking it seriously, they are really examining these markets, and they aren't just taking anyone, they've denied some places, they've stopped going some places, so they really believe in it, and I kind of believe in what they're doing right now. For the first time ever, I have full confidence in the NLL and what they're doing. I really like this management group. And as far as Philly goes, like, yeah, obviously they should be in Philly, and it was just a matter of time, and now they're finally there again.
Wait, I couldn't hear that last part.
I said bring back the Boston Blazers.
Oh, no. You mean, I was going to get the air horn.
Well, no.
You interviewed, I don't want to step on somebody else, but you interviewed Nick Sekovic. Am I butchering his name? How do you say Sekovic?
Sekovic. I should know this, like, I really should, because I've talked to him a few times, but I'm going to butcher it, but I think it's Sekovic.
Okay. I think it's, I heard Sekovic.
Probably, I trust Chris on this.
Yep, because our guy across the broad, he used to write for the Union a lot, knows Sekovic a lot, too. I actually texted him when the announcement came the Tuesday of, and I don't think he got a reply back, but he actually did an interview with him about the Union and whatnot. And LL, so.
CrossRaw.com,
read that on that.
I was like, so I interviewed Nick, like, 4 or 5 days before my story on Lacrosse Magazine went up, and, like, he told me they're going to Philly, and that, like, announcements are coming soon. I actually talked to him before the schedule came out, and he told me, like, all the schedule stuff, but I was just really slow on talking to other sources for that story, because I didn't assume he meant, like, the next day. So it came out later, and, like, stuff had already come out, and my story kind of lost some of its luster because of that, because I was like, okay, I knew this was happening, and I was going to post about it, but then it came out already.
I think it's going to explode in Philly. Like, I really think, like, I think it, like...
It'll be fine.
I think there is a reservoir of goodwill towards the Wings. That whether it's you know, people who actually played or just people who used to watch or just go down and see the games down the spectrum. Like, and I think like there's a little bit of nostalgia, and they if they price it right, especially since if they can get it in the city, that's like I'm just look comparing it to the Union. The Union, like soccer, has a much bigger base, obviously, but like you know, it still took a little bit of time to grow, and the stadium's all the way out in Chester. So like, if they get a team like right in the city in Lee, of course, Chris, we've talked about this several times, at least on
TMs.
Like, what? Where do you other places? Is Wells Fargo kind of in the number one in the running, or?
I believe for arena.
Yeah, like where would?
Oh, they're at the Wells Fargo Center. They already confirmed that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like when we were talking about, like you were like always, like kind of like they're definitely going to go Wells Fargo. But I thought like Lee, of course, in Temple wouldn't be in a bad option. But the fact that they're in the city is my point. And if they're cheaper,
and they did, I know like the last few years that the Kicks were like in the indoor soccer team, the cult following of the Kicks, they went to the Lee, of course, Center. I don't think they had that big of an attendance, but it was they were able to do it. So I was thinking, you know. It seats about, I think, at max 10,000, so that would be a perfect-sized venue for something like that. But then you have something like, hey, you're in North Philly, you're on North Broad, it's not the safest area. There's a parking garage, and then if there's like that gets spaced up, you're going to have to go into alleys. You know, you don't want, if that's a family-friendly atmosphere, that's nowhere near a family-friendly atmosphere. If you're going around North Philly and you see, like, you hear gunshots or whatever. I mean, it'll be like 10:30, so I don't think you'll hear gunshots. But I think what they're doing with the Wells Fargo Center is a lot smarter because, one, let's not forget, when the Wings moved out, which was like 2014, I believe Xfinity Live wasn't even built yet. So now they have Xfinity Live, so they can make more money from people drinking before and drinking after or eating after before those games. So that's just more money going into Comcast Spectacor's pockets. Two, they still have soon-to-be NBC Sports Philadelphia, which is now CSN. So, you know, they could be able to broadcast games. They have TCN. They can probably, they'll probably go there for those games. And they have a guy, a lacrosse-known guy who knew everything before Marissa's first is to report in the name of you know, John Barchard at WIP.
I was going to get into him being play-by-play guy, but go ahead. That would be dope. That's not breaking news. We hope that he becomes a play-by-play guy.
I mean, yeah, it's probable because the thing is, WIP doesn't have, now this is going to be the crossing broadcast on College Cross.
You know, but, I'm going to interrupt real quick. You know how Arsenal Fan TV, the commenters count troops, whether he says blood or fam? This is going to be now a Chris crossing broad from here on out. I can tell already.
Yeah. I think that's three.
But proceed.
All right, so WIP does not have the rights to the Sixers or the Flyers. They have the rights to the Phillies, and they're not even involved when the Wings play for the most part. It's maybe just April and a few select games in March, but that's during the day. And then the Eagles, which don't really interfere with the Wings at all because the Wings usually play on a Saturday. So you have those Saturdays open. You can easily get the rights and have broadcast games. So Barchard's going to... My guess is the Wings are gonna go probably to WIP to get some of those games. There's definitely availability for that in the Philadelphia market for broadcasting and especially now on TV and now on radio. And you have Barchard who knows lacrosse. Hopefully, you know, when they start, they hire some guy named Chris Jastrzemski and help them out. Because, you know, I know lacrosse, so.
I'm just saying I know of a Boston Cannons commentator that would be willing to relocate to broadcast the NLL.
You would own Northern Liberties, Marissa. Absolutely own it. That's right there for recent college grads. Like, you would love that area. I think, like, this is going to be, like, a good turning point, but, like, indicator that the league, the NLL is starting to, like, really make some nice moves. And I don't want to talk too badly about the MLL, but I mean, I guess we got to talk about that, right? Like, just in comparison, or do we want to?
First, I'll just put my two cents on the NLL. I mean, just on that point of the league growing, look at how all the NCAA talent they're drafting up now. Because I think the Toronto Rocks experiment with, hey, let's get some good college guys like Schreiber and McArdle.
And he's amazing.
And, Tom Schreiber's all of a sudden an MVP player in the NLL in addition to being an MVP caliber player in the MLL. So it's like, all right, yeah, now let's all grab NCAA town. So that's helping their cause. And then, I think the San Diego move, I will say the San Diego move, I think, needs a little bit more teams on the West Coast over time, but it's definitely not a bad thing to have a billionaire owner doing it. Obviously, it might be to parlay into a 32nd NHL team or a 31st NBA team or something like that with that arena, but I think, you know, that's a good start, as long as maybe down the road they get a team, you know, maybe in like a Sacramento or a Bakersfield or a Fresno, and maybe one in Eugene, because the Stealth are up there kind of all alone in Vancouver. Kind of like what the AHL did in minor league hockey, where, you know, the West Coast teams are starting AHL teams out there, so now we've got to get a couple more over there to have their own division. So I think over time, maybe you need a couple more in the Pacific and Pacific areas. I know you have Colorado. I know you have Saskatchewan. And doesn't Calgary have a team, too? I forget.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're actually having some issues with their arena and stuff, and that's kind of something I'm working on right now.
Uh-huh. I am not surprised.
Well, the Flames have.
Yeah, there's stuff going. And like Calgary's actually like had some issues that people forget about, like 8-9 years ago or so, where their owner, it was Bannister at the time, he's no longer their owner, was like going to relocate them in the middle of the season and all this stuff, and the Flames saved the day by buying the team. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have issues, and I'm in the middle of looking into that a little bit because I got another anonymous tip. But some educated guess on some West Coast teams we might see. I've heard, like, before the Swarm moved to Georgia, I was hearing a lot of talk of them maybe going to Vegas, and that never happened. But now that there's an NHL and an NFL team there, I wouldn't be surprised if the NLL wants to go to Vegas, and I think it would be awesome. And I wouldn't be surprised if they want to go back to Portland, Oregon, only because that market accepted lacrosse and was super into it, and their owner just had a bunch of issues and folded that team. So those are two teams I could really easily see being out there at some point.
What about Seattle?
I was about to say Seattle.
Well, Seattle needs an arena.
Don't they have an arena? Didn't they build one?
They're renovating that arena. Tearing and then building it, whatever.
Well, there's a lot of legal hurdles in that one, so we'll see on that one. I think Portland or Eugene would probably be the better bet compared to Seattle.
You know who's definitely going to get a team, and I have, like, no one telling me this. This isn't even an educated guess, but just a feeling I get is that Nashville is 100% going to end up with a team.
That would be interesting.
I could see that.
So going on that, I think San Diego's a good move because of the billionaire backing. We'll see over time. I think you need a little bit more Pacific Coast expansion, though, to help, you know, make sure that them and Vancouver aren't on an island. Philly obviously makes sense. The Philadelphia Laxy McLax face. Suggested
the
name the
team. Or the cheesesteaks.
Heard worse. That wasn't that bad, Ryan. I'm telling you, I have heard worse.
Like the cheesesteaks.
Yeah, you could just see the Brandeis minor league baseball marketing of a cheesesteak with a lacrosse stick with the same googly eyes and scrawl like every other one of their logos in minor league baseball. So that makes sense. Halifax.
They've been looking at Halifax for a while. Say Kiewicz, or however you say his name. He's been in Halifax, like, a whole bunch. And before they moved to Saskatchewan, people thought that Bruce Irvin was going to move Edmonton to Halifax. So a lot of people are telling me Halifax. And I don't think it necessarily makes a ton of sense, but they're super into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Halifax isn't too... It's not, like... It's, in St. John's, where they used to have, and every now and then they decide, hey, let's put an AHL team back in St. John's, Newfoundland. So Halifax isn't terrible. You know, Nova Scotia's a little weird, so it is a bit of a hike to the nearest team, which would be New England right now, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they might add a team in Montreal, or they at least want to. They had some preseason games in Montreal a few years ago. The Montreal Express didn't draw terribly. Again, that was like an ownership thing going on there. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of speculation of them going back there. So if they had a team in Montreal to couple with Halifax like a year later, I think that might make sense.
I would also recommend like maybe St. John and New Brunswick or Moncton to help kind of give a traveling partner for Halifax. Just because, you know, Halifax isn't too terribly far, but it is in the Atlantic time zone and a little bit on the... What?
Why not Quebec City? Because they have that big they have that big arena that they want a hockey team in. The NHL's like, nah.
Because French Canadians, extreme French Canadians, which you get in Quebec City, I don't think really care about lacrosse. You're Frank. Lacrosse
the original NLL in the 70s had a team in Quebec City.
Well, told you. Yeah, so I would say that. And then going forward, yeah, I think mid-sized markets would be a good way to go for the NLL going forward. I mean, they're showing some strength. I know Marissa likes to say, going back to Long Island, I only disagree because it's right across the street from Hofstra, and Long Island doesn't really care all that much about box lacrosse. It's not really a box lacrosse culture on Long Island. So I would say, like, markets where there's a big field lacrosse presence, so Long Island and Maryland might not work so much, or Central New York. Do note I said Central New York because Western New York is box lacrosse zone, Central New York's field lacrosse zone. But I mean, like, maybe, I'm thinking, you know, either small market in the Big Four or big market in the minors. So, like, I would...
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville would, I think, could be an interesting choice. Greensboro, Raleigh could be. I know Raleigh's a little
bit... Charlotte failed pretty badly in 96.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could give... If you needed someone to pair up with Nashville.
I'd love to see the Tampa Bay Lightning own a team.
Yeah, that could be an interesting look. Or Orlando.
Oh, Orlando was really bad. I went to games in Orlando. Don't ever go there again. No.
All right.
No, it's hard pass.
Yeah. Oh, I know they failed in New York, right? New York City?
Well, yeah, just because they were in MSG and the rent was ridiculously high. So the reason I've always brought up Long Island is I think if the NLL wants to be a major league, they need a presence in New York. And I think the only way they can is at Nassau, basically.
Yeah,
the rent is too damn high.
Ryan, you know that area. Does Hoboken have an arena?
No, Hoboken does not. The Newark does in the Prudential Center. But again, that's probably going to be too high rent. Nassau Coliseum works for now, but because it's, you know, they downgraded the seating. But if the Islanders can't get this Belmont Arena through, they're starting to already talk about renovating the Coliseum again to get it back to NHL level seating capacity. So. I mean, I don't know. As it stands, it would be fine enough where even if they're not drawing that well, at least it's only 12,000 arena. But if the event that the Islanders end up going back to the Coliseum, if the Belmont thing doesn't go through and Barclays Center can't do anything to fix their situation and they go back to the Coliseum, you're going to get back into having to get it back up to 16K or so. And I don't think that would work. Again, I mean, if they rebranded themselves as the New York Saints rather than the New York Titans, that would probably help for nostalgia purposes. But again, the Coliseum's right across the street from Hofstra. And if you have a Saturday night where the Saints are playing, an NLL team's playing and Hofstra's playing, more people are going to go to the Hofstra game.
Which sport at Hofstra?
Either basketball or lacrosse.
Okay, fair enough. Mm.
Is there any correlation with like hockey-loving cities? Like, it seems to me like Detroit, like Minneapolis, maybe like conducive for like some teams.
Minnesota lost a team to Georgia.
But it's because your owners are not very good owners.
That was before Sakevich. Joined, correct?
Right. Yeah, but even then, like, the owners of the Swarm aren't the best in the NLL and did not do the best of job in Minnesota. And I really think Minnesota is a really good lacrosse market, and I would just say my default is, oh, have the NHL team own them, but the Wild got rid of them. They didn't like having them. So I don't know if that can work, and it's a shame because it's actually a good lacrosse market. I love the idea of Detroit getting a team. I've had a lot of people ask me about it. So there's a demand, and they're getting the new arena for the Red Wings and everything, so I think that it actually could be a good idea in Detroit.
Alrighty, so that, I guess, will cover the NLL, which means, Chris, guess what time it is?
Oh, no. Major League Lacrosse. More like Major League Leaks!
I don't even know what has really transpired in the MLL since Chris last ranted, so there's not really much on that, but
given the Cannons lost your GM, that happened.
Yeah, given that the NLL is finding some more success, it's not looking that great in the MLL lately.
LSN is still reporting stuff before the league and teams do, and it makes no sense, even though I don't even know what their purpose is, if they're a team or a league thing, which they're not, or they're just independent, so I don't know what. Yeah.
I love MLL, but they're not doing well.
Nope. What else? Oh, their commissioner hasn't responded to any of my emails or Marissa's emails since the whole thing came, even though he gave multiple public responses to Evan Grossman and a few other outlets, and the league made a statement to LSN that almost nobody saw except for the guy that I hate the most in the history of lacrosse Twitter. Who actually picked it up and fed it to Inside Lacrosse, who posted it for everyone to see. And then, David Gross, that's his name. And apparently he's still going to be the commissioner for a little bit, from what I heard from one of the MLL players back during the season in, like, July. So,
do we know if Rochester is moving yet or not, by the way?
So,
I'm getting really mixed messages about that.
All right, I've heard that when their final team meeting happened, they had a letterhead that stated that had the logo as the Dallas Rattlers. So that came from one of the local Philly lacrosse players who plays in the MLL that he knows that plays on the Rattlers, and they were discussing that during the Lax Rodeo down in Dallas. Won't reveal names, but...
See, I was talking to a Rattlers player that I did a story about, which I won't say names, but anyone could probably figure it out. And he was talking about how, like, he was hopeful they're staying in Rochester and everything, and he's planning on being there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that they are... Again, I've heard that they are moving, and then I've heard from that they aren't moving, but... I think the one, the letterhead that had Dallas Rattlers on there, now I haven't seen the letterhead, but that's what I've been told via word of mouth. If that's true, that's got to be like the most impactful rumor about the Dallas Rattlers so far. But again, who knows what happens now because of the MLL leaking? Do they stay? Do they even disband?
Maybe they don't even announce it and the season just opens the game in Dallas and nobody knows about it.
Yeah. Or they just wait for like the last week and that's it. And like even the team when their season got done, they just had like a little like it seemed like a goodbye, but it wasn't really a goodbye little post on their website. So like I don't know what they're doing. I don't really know what the NLL is doing. I don't know what the MLL even does, to be quite honest, because they're just having team weeks now on LSN, and no one seems to really care or watch at this point, because who cares?
I watch LSN because I'm a junkie.
You love bashing everybody, Chris, don't you?
Oh, I love bashing the MLL and LSN.
Alright, so, we'll have to see where that goes with the MLL, with all that. And of course, you already covered the whole player pool leak deal.
Yeah, that's been pretty much gone quiet ever since. And David Gross hasn't responded to any of my emails. And I don't think Marissa, I believe, he hasn't responded to your emails. I think Kyle Devitt of IL, who you don't like, Marissa, hasn't.
Oh, I never said I don't like him. He just doesn't like me.
Oh, well, it's an equal hate now. He hasn't gotten responses back from Gross, so I don't know what he's doing. And it's like, pretty much picture David Gross as the dog in the fire picture saying, this is fine. That's pretty much David Gross.
That's just MLL in general. I think I tweeted that the day of the leak. I think I tweeted that meme.
Alright, so we go on to what our bread and butter is, and that's the college game with the not really much news going on with it. Here's the latest news. Marquette's released their schedule today. They'll be the first one to do it. We'll wait until 3 months till Syracuse and Maryland do theirs.
Right after the Super Bowl.
Exactly 3 months.
Probably. Chris has already kind of leaked the schedule a little bit to me, and it's a little bit more variety than usual. Wowee.
They play BU.
No.
Classified information. Darn.
I can confirm they do not play BU.
I'm trying to piece together their schedule.
One down, 70 other teams, or 69 other teams to go. Nice. And that, my friend,
nice.
So Marquette will play the usual suspects. They have a
home game against Notre Dame, too, which is a big surprise, because they've always gone to Notre Dame for those games. That's big. That's the only, big difference from last year's schedule to this year's. And they scrimmaged Utah in the fall, too.
Point of order, they did add a Big Ten team. They dropped Richmond for Michigan.
Yep. And they are scrimmaging Hopkins, too.
Mm. Yeah.
I would actually think, though, that Richmond is a better game than Michigan for Marquette. I know it's a little bit better for regional things, but I feel like Richmond is a better game, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. Additionally, news this week, it looks like Akron is adding women's lacrosse.
At LeBron James.
Everybody in the club gets zippy. So that'll be another new program
that's
out
of
the Midwest. So we got that. That's not really much else going on in...
That's the good news.
That's the good news. Unfortunately, there's been bad news. A couple weeks ago, Lafayette freshman McCray Williams was found dead after... Let me just see. Let me just remember how it did.
So he was found, since I have the whole thing up because I wrote about it yesterday.
Yeah.
So Northampton County District Attorney, which is the county that Lafayette College is in, his name is John Morganelli, he released details about the events that led up to his death, and it seemed like, it started Saturday at a day drink. He was drinking a lot, he apparently threw up a couple times, and what we know is a loud sound. He had a woman in the room as well. She heard a loud sound, found Williams on the ground, and then that's when it starts to, already started down with a throwing up, but that's when they get him on the bed. He rests for the entire day, and then he's still sleeping at like 4 on Sunday. His lacrosse buddies take him to a car. He tries to become combative with that. They call one of the lacrosse coaches. Don't even know the head coach. It probably is the interim head coach right now for Lafayette, since Jim Rogowski left for Michigan. I believe it's Ed Williams or something like that, if I'm correct. But either way, the players talked to Ed Williams, that is the interim head coach, about that situation, and then he said to call 911. They were going to go to the ER. He said to go to 911. They got there. He got there, and he was found in the car at like around 4:20-ish, taken to Lehigh Valley Hospital, and he died on Monday. So Morgan Alley believes that the strongest likelihood that he hit his head when he fell Saturday after throwing up, he hit his head on a concrete floor, block floor in his dorm. And that's all we know. That the toxicology reports are coming out soon. Not sure exactly when. It takes a few weeks for those to happen. But, I don't want to say what we think it is. But based on the facts, I would assume it's something involving alcohol. No hazing is involved, as he said, so nothing like Timothy Piazza with Penn State. But still, you know, it is a growing trend with alcohol and drinking. And just maybe it wasn't him. It was him just not knowing what his limit was. Maybe alcohol, like some kind of alcohol poisoning, maybe. Don't exactly know, but still up in the air. So that's the facts pretty much that Morganelli revealed on Tuesday. And we'll just wait on for more details.
Yeah, so very sad situation with that. And, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, I feel like college lacrosse unfortunately has, I mean, even if it's not alcohol related, it feels like we're losing too many college players in comparison to other sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, football has its own problems with injuries leading to death. But, I mean, outside of that, I feel like even if it's not alcohol-related, there has been some alcohol-related deaths, but even there's been a lot of car crashes as well, you know, or tragic accidents and stuff like that, or just medical conditions, that I just feel like, you know, we're losing too many of these great, you know, young guys, occasionally young girls in the lacrosse community way too soon.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about this more at length at another pod, but obviously deepest condolences to the Williams family, Lafayette players, and all the new friends McCray was making at the tragic end of his death. But this was rough. Like, this is always difficult, I'm sure, when young people, like pretty much a kid, passes away so young, especially just when they're about to embark on, you know, their college year. So I will wait for more facts, but like, yeah, this is just a tragic story all around.
And just think about the family for a second. You know, like I've heard this a few times, like the last thing a mom and dad want to do is to bury their own child. And you just think about that for a second, that something that Mr. and Mrs. Williams helped create like about 19 years ago, their precious little son dies, and now they have to put him to rest. It's probably one of the saddest and worst feelings you have as a parent, realizing that your gem, and even if you have multiple kids, he's still one of your gems that you make. You're a precious little thing, and you're so, even my parents and I went to college, that they were still, my mom was crying the first night that I was up here. And she just didn't want to leave me. And it's just painful. And they care. Even if we're like 20s or 30s like we are right now, like these parents still, our parents still care for us. Even when they think they don't, when you think they don't. And it's just sad. Just thinking about, take away all the lacrosse and the alcohol. Just think about the parents that don't have these kids. Think about the Darcys after Connor passed away of that car crash. It's just something I don't want to talk to about more in depth, but just think about that. You know, it doesn't really happen a lot to us, because, you know, not a lot of our friends really pass away at a young age. I know one of my classmates at LaSalle, he had cancer and he passed away right before the start of our senior year, and it was just sad and depressing to see not only his parents and his family members, but also some of my classmates that were close to him, or not even close to him at all, but just knew him as a nice guy. I had a couple class or two. I had a class with him my sophomore year, just bawling their eyes out. It's dealing with death is never easy.
Marissa, McCray's from Weston. The local media started to pick up more on the story?
He played at Nobles, which is one of the better, they're in the ISL, the Independent School League, one of the better teams in that conference. Nobles, like, they produce, like, all the good players that go to Harvard and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the Globe did some stuff about it. There's definitely been talk, and I've talked to a few lacrosse coaches. I know a few ISL guys, like at Governor's Academy and stuff. So, yeah, and I'm involved in the Patriot League community, too, with Lafayette. So, BU's had some stuff, and I know some people at Lehigh. I've seen some stuff over there. But, yeah, it's incredibly sad and awful. But, yeah, Massachusetts lacrosse definitely has had a few statements. They've, a few people have talked about it up here, and yeah, people are thinking about it.
This is, you know, 2 years later, but like the death of Chris Metz and Connor Darcy also, yep, like in so like pretty rough times for the Massachusetts area lacrosse community. But like I said, we'll talk about this later, like as more facts come in. We just wanted to keep Jeremy it on the Huber, facts.
Jeremy Huber as well at Hopkins a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a Georgetown guy a year or two ago as well. So it's around. It's and we George, we all well,
Jer-
we
love, Jeremy it just you know, that was pneumonia. Like
but still that. it's we love talking about, like, you know, Marquette's availing their schedule and Akron's adding lacrosse and all these positive things, and you know, we don't want to talk about these negative things, but it is it's out there, and we do I think it's important for us to discuss some of these more serious and more somber topics that there are, because if we do it with the MLL with their player leaks, it's a not that good of a topic. We should also do it with, mm-hmm, my opinion, serious topic. Mm-hmm. It's still news, and it's something that is a problem, and we should highlight it, and hopefully we can make it better for the entire community itself.
Well said. So I guess let's lighten the mood a little bit with some miscellaneous discussion.
Why not?
Marissa, let's just get right to it.
Oh, the Game of Thrones, I'll take my bathroom break while you guys go.
Yeah, we need to talk about this.
Let's clear out the lane, everybody. Marissa and I go post up down low. What did you think of the season? We've had a couple weeks to digest it. Chris, you're not a big fan either, right?
I watched one episode so I could say I watched Game of Thrones, and after that, it was like, I have no clue what's going on, so
that's muted.
Which episode did you watch?
The one where Jon Snow meets a woman in the castle, I think like the third episode of the season, where it was like, oh my god, this meeting is actually happening.
Oh, with Daenerys?
Yes.
Oh, that was like the most important thing ever. You skipped to that.
I guess that was good.
Well,
that's what I've heard too. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, oh no, this is actually the most important thing that's happened on the shore. Like, oh wow!
I had to watch the show twice to really understand it. Like, I watched the show the first time, like, all six seasons, and I was like, wow, I really like that. And then I started rewatching it again because I was bored and school ended and I didn't know what to do. And then I, like, totally got everything that happened, and my mind was blown, and I was like, actually, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
All right, so let's start here. How overall grade of this season? I know you kind of, like, charged through with a bunch of rewatches and but you know, to catch up to the season. Like, what did you think of was it one half of season 7, I guess? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, season 8's next year, I guess, but it's only 6. We had this with 7. I saw a lot of people complaining about it and people being like, well, it's unrealistic, and I'm like, well, there are dragons in this show, so get over it. I was a fan of it. I was really worried early in the season that they were going to make Daenerys out to be like the Mad Queen and everything, and then they didn't, and I'm just really relieved by that, because I was really worried they were going in that direction with her, so that kind of freaked me out, so I'm glad everything's fine. Should we have, like, spoiler warning, or do people know stuff by now?
This is all spoiler. We're talking about anything.
Okay.
Be warned. If you're listening to this part, we're going to talk about everything, so.
There is needed, twice. You know what I mean? There's been twice in Game of Thrones where I've cried. When Hodor died, and then when Viserion died. So that was pretty powerful and a lot. I was really mad at Daenerys because, like, she obviously went back to save Jon Snow because she's in love with him. And I'm like, yo, you just gave up a dragon for some guy, and that's really disappointing. So that
eye on the ball.
That aggravates, like, yo, you have 3 dragons, why do you need to go get some guy? Like, it's Jon Snow, but still, it's just some dude, so, like, keep your dragons. So that was disappointing. I knew the entire time Jaime's going to become a good guy at some point, and I'm kind of glad he is, because I want to like him. The best scene in the entire series, or entire season, was Arya and Brienne, when they had their little duel. That was amazing. Oh, and when Littlefinger died, that was, like, the most awesome thing ever, because I want to believe in Sansa so badly, because I want her to be a strong female character, because there are so many good ones in the show, and Sansa, just her weaknesses sometimes, I don't really like, because she should know better by now, and the fact that she did know better the whole time and she was able to turn around and get Littlefinger, I thought was awesome, and I really appreciated it. And also, I never want to see Theon again.
So, I agree with, especially the part about, like, this was a good season. Like, I think of it, like, of Game of Thrones, this was, you know, this was a good Game of Thrones season. You know, they weaved in the fantasy stuff, and it was great. But, like, for my personal enjoyment of Game of Thrones, it lessens as there's more of the fantasy stuff. Like, I loved when Bran wasn't in, like, one episode of, like,
Brandon's deal?
He's just, you know, he had a rough year, as Andy Greenwald said. He had a rough first semester at Oberlin, or like some like ultra liberal school, and it just totally changed. But this is what I feel like. I kind of love the palace intrigue stuff. I love the King's Landing when Tyrion and Cersei are like bantering back and forth. I think like that's wonderful. Like everything with Jaime, like his whole arc, that kind of thing is good. Like the more you hear about like the zombies and these children of, you're like, I'm like, I get it, you know, like you got,
yeah,
your,
I'm a fantasy know. Junkie, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I'm like, I get, but I was like, I really like, I just like what's going on in King's Landing. Like this kind of, this how I feel like, like I said, it was a good season. Like I was kind of actually disappointed with the Baelish ending. I was like, it feels like they were rushing. Like, the thing with Game of Thrones, they were following George R. Martin's his name, right? His, like, book. So it was like, he takes his time. Like, you just felt like this was just, like, this could be, like, 10, 15 season show. And now, like, they're like, all right, we got to end it because they're probably going to try to make money by making spinoffs. But they're like, we got to end this in one season. And it's just, like, now everything kind of feels rushed. Like, Baelish going out like that, like, that's not... That's not the Baelish I know, you know.
I
mean, like,
I was so satisfied by it, though.
I get, like, you know, he talks his way out of a lot of stuff, and they just cut his throat to, like.
But he can't talk his way past Arya. That was the point, because like she was so strong, she like could see through it.
No, for sure. I thought he played her with the note, and they actually did. But Sansa, I think Sansa just made a move. Like now, like all her secrets are gone. Like, you know, the woman in the Eyrie, like she died because she went kind of, you know, Sansa was more involved in the that woman dying on the, you know, the hole in the ground place, the Eyrie, whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like her secrets are buried with Baelish, like all the stuff that she had to do to get out of King's Landing and stuff. So, you know, I thought it was just like a power move by Sansa. I thought like, you know, I've kind of liked Sansa more than I'd like Arya. Arya's gone a little bit too much, I think, you know, with this psychotic killer the motif that she's running with. But like I said, it's
I good love season, Arya, but, like, but I'm worried about her. Yeah, I'm worried she might end up doing regrettable stuff.
It's a tough show because, like, the people that you like usually get got pretty early. You
I'm
know?
Like 90% sure Daenerys is going to die, and I'm already freaking out about it.
I mean, my dream would be Cersei to, like just drop Mike and just actually win, you know, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be awful.
Did you hear this one? Like, again, spoiler alert, like, we're talking about internet theories as well. The one that Bran is the Night King? Like,
that's yeah, I really cool. like that one, and I totally buy it.
I'll definitely link to it in the prospectus when we...
I'm 100%... Because why else would they show us that he could affect the past with Hodor? Like, they didn't do that just for the shock factor of Hodor dying and not being sad. Like, that had to have meant something. They wanted to show he can affect the past.
Exactly. And each time he does, like, it kind of makes things worse. So, I think
he's also going to definitely warg into a dragon at some point.
There was a part of me, it's just like, if you can warg anytime he wants and stuff, like, as soon as they found out that Daenerys and Snow are related, like, why don't you just warg into one of them and just be like, okay, you guys shouldn't do this. Like, you
know? Yeah. How come, like, he never told anyone about Jon Snow's parents, and then, like, Sam just shows up and he just tells him, but, like, he didn't tell his own sisters all season?
That's just because everyone, this is why people hate Cat Stark. They're like, oh, she was mean to Jon. I'm like, first off, Ned... I love Sean Bean. Anything Sean Bean's in, if it's IRA related, shout out Ryan. I'm gonna watch it. I'm in. So like he's a great actor. I love him and everything. But like he's the worst like point man. You know what I mean? Like he could have just told Kat, like, listen, this isn't my kid. This is my sister's kid. But if anybody knows, they're gonna kill him. And they're like, that would have been it. Yeah, all like Kat is a G. She would have like, and she wouldn't have been mad at Snow this whole time. None of this would have happened.
No.
No, like,
nothing would have happened.
Ben just told her, like, listen, we just got to protect this kid because Baratheon is just going to go, he's going to go lit and he's going to kill the kid. So let's just all be quiet. That's all he had to say. And Kat would have been like, I got you. You know, but.
This show's going to have the stupidest do-ex machine to wrap up the series. That's all I'm going to interject with.
No, it's definitely something. This is like, oh, here
it's
it is.
It's almost like it can't end. Like, no one's going to be happy with how it ends. Because, like, how do you end this entire universe and wrap everything together? How do you even do that?
This is how it ends. Because it's going to be disappointing. Let's just all face it. Because that's just what the internet does. Whatever's kind of good, it doesn't end exactly the way you want it. Everyone gets mad. So, but the way that they can, like, bounce back from it is if these spinoffs are dope. And if you have, like, a young Cersei, Jaime, and Tyrion spinoff, that could be really cool. Like, people would be into it. Or, like, Baratheon or whatever. You go all the way
back. I want the original Targaryens on the original invasion.
Yeah, but, like, all the, you, that could just hope, that could be Game of Thrones part two. You know, that just, like, how do they get power? So, they got a lot of room. That's the point. It's like, this is going to end badly. It's already, because it's like, this wasn't that great. You know, it's not like in a pantheon of seasons. But, you know, it's going to end that people are going to like it. Some people are going to hate it. And but the HBO is going to make money when they make the other ones. So.
I already know I'm not going to like it because Daenerys is not going to win. And that's my entire rooting interest from day one.
You got a lot of Daenerys stock.
I literally own a Targaryen necklace that I wear all the time. So, yeah, I need her to win. But she won't.
I tried my best political spin on you, like, about, like, how it'd be against the populace, and you stuck with her, so I commend that. Because I was like, she's barbecuing a bunch of kids who were just conscripted to war. Like, how is this not going to anger the population? Like, but they just, as Ryan said, they just, oh, this little narrative thing, and then bang, everything's fine.
Yep.
I still contend that I'm going with my theory that it's the final battle for this gold for the Iron Throne or whatever, and the original Top Gear cast, it, just like Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes,
just Jeremy Clarkson runs over everybody, and like, whoops. And then James May comes by and goes, you bloody took out everything, everyone, Clarkson. And then Richard May shows up, too. It's like, come on, you monk. And on that note...
they look at the camera and say, and that's the Game of Thrones.
On that note, that was Game of Thrones. That would be the best way to end it.
I used to joke around. My buddy made... buddy used to make fun of my... I used to watch that show, Revenge. we'll move off TV real quick. But... I used to be like, I didn't watch Game of Thrones the first couple seasons, and I was like, listen, I don't judge you, your dragons, like, let's not judge what I, you know, this is why TV is great, we can all watch what we watch. Do we want to finish off with some football before we leave? Like,
yeah, the NFL sucks this year, so true. We didn't even do a preview this year, because it's so predictable. The Patriots,
there's nothing stealing. Interesting going on in the league at all.
No. When is Jimmy going to start, Marissa? When are we going to make this happen?
Tom looks pretty good right now. I'm not this season, I don't think.
Week 15 with everything wrapped up and Belichick wants the rest of it. There's so many bad teams this year. It's amazing.
Ryan, on the scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances do you think the Jets trade for Jimmy and give up like three?
Oh, God, no. That draft. Won't happen.
I'd love to see that happen.
One.
That won't happen.
No.
Washington won't.
Bill's not going to make a trade with the Jets.
No.
They'll trade him to Washington.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, keep an eye on my Twitter the next few days.
Are you going to talk? Oh, God. Are you gonna...
Marissa and Jimmy are getting hired by the Patriots.
Oh, God, if only it was that.
That would be amazing.
We'll have an NHL podcast in the next week or two because that is a little bit more interesting.
A lot more interesting.
With a lot of bad takes, probably. Maybe.
Yeah, last year we was a banner year for our predictions. Absolute banner. Then we doubled it up with the playoff podcast, where we all banked on the Blackhawks and additionally actually expected the Capitals to do sort of something.
Why would anyone expect the Capitals to do anything?
Because we figured, okay, finally they got to do something. If the freaking Cubs and Cavaliers can do something, then For God's sakes, the Capitals have to do something for once, and then they didn't. For God's sakes, Gonzaga made a national title game. UNC lacrosse not only made Final Four, they won a Final Four.
Hey, BC women's lacrosse made it to a Final Four, so anything can happen.
Reminder, you can check out the College Crosscast archives for my interview with Boston College legend Lauren Costello, episode 3 of the Little Boxes Project.
It was everything I hoped and more. It was worth the wait.
There, I had to plug my own thing in. So I guess, anything else?
Crossing board! Are you the second round? Because I'm getting myself out. The Washington Capitals.
By the way,
it's a nice pickup line.
By the way, the Washington Nationals have never won a playoff series.
I like that, Chris.
I just saw actually a tweet that the Nationals did it. It's like, oh, it's like we never left Turner Field with a home run. And then someone just said, SunTrust Park has hosted as many NLCS games as Nationals Park.
Yes.
May that please continue. Otherwise, yes, we'll have more podcasts, including some more Little Boxes projects, podcasts coming down the pike.
Wait. Can I include my my short little segment on lacrosse and broad comments about lacrosse since I've gotten hired?
Yes, but first let me just finish my own plug.
Go.
Yeah, so, you know, my friends and people around town have been busy lately, including myself. I've been quite busy lately, but we'll have more down the pike on that for you, so more of those specials. And as I said, due to our expanded storage space, we'll do more fun things and a few more vanity podcasts down the line. Would you be interested in Jake and I having a podcast and just randomly talking about sports every now and then? Who knows? Possibilities are endless in our new podcast atmosphere. Okay, so do your crossing board broad stuff.
All right, so here's the thing with non-Philadelphia people and people that don't know crossing broad. So on these articles, you can actually comment as a random person. You don't even need about like your first name or last name. It could be like some weird thing as a name, and you can just comment whatever you want. Ever since I got on Crossing Broad,
be anonymous?
Yes, it can be anonymous. You can make up your own name as well.
Nice guy, 69.
You were describing anonymous only.
So I'm going to be reading the best PG-related comments in regards to myself and myself in college across on the website. So Carl Dennis, about a week ago, said, LOL, what? Nothing on college lacrosse. Ha ha ha. Cool sight, Kyle.
Okay. Sunday. Okay, so how much we want to bet that half of these are Syracuse lacrosse players?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, continue.
Mr. MXYZPTLK, Chris Jastrzemski, Kyle, you're making these names up, right? A lot of those names you'll see.
I do love the name jokes. Those are good.
From Uncle Carl. From Uncle Carl. You're spelling our last name wrong there, Chris. This one has Jastrzemski spelled as Jastrzremski. Hire a writer whose name we can't be bothered to spell in the comments. Interesting approach, Kyle. Well played. Another one. Syracuse, and this is the first ever one from my first post. And it is from a Syracuse lacrosse player. This guy was the Dave Spadaro of the Orangemen locker rooms. A few others right here as well. Jane Daniels, ex-CSN, Comcast Sportsnet. How is it that Chris Jastrzemski, a.k.a. my favorite, the consonant, has a job in Crossing Broad, but I have nothing going on? And then a bunch of, who are you? Ellipses. Who's this jabroni? Question mark. And, yeah, people are like, who is this guy? Juan Boric, Chris Jastrzemski. Yes. Is it true that he is also helping out Center City Sips with marketing? And he also has a shift from 3 to 3:30 a.m. on WIP. Best hire ever. Also, Orlin Landfald. How can I hire Chris Jastrzemski for an appearance at my charity event? I can think of nobody better. Chris who? Great Scott. Another Pollock. And that's about it.
Has anyone said that you're a blogger and not a journalist?
Sadly, not yet. They just said, I miss Jim Adair, who used to be on the site, and they are calling me the new Jim Adair. So,
my two favorites, because I love Crossing Broad. I say three. Chris, a couple times again, shouted out on their pod, and them butchering his name, which is always hilarious. Two, Chris getting yelled at in the comments for something the kid who did the Tyler. Round of the day before did, which is just hilarious because I just can't imagine.
Sat on Michael Bennett for that having to happen. Damn it.
And the third one was the one guy who kind of was like just trolling Kyle and said, I've never heard of these kids. And I just quote tweeted him. I was like, you know, I have heard of Chris's Trump, so he's not so bad, but he didn't say anything.
Crossing Broad is not on the SB Nation network, so we will cease talking about it here. I'm kidding around with you guys. But anywho, that'll about do it for this podcast. Going to get kind of answering things.
It would have been a crisp 63 minutes, you know,
yeah.
With some extra comments. So always swift with Marissa.
Yeah.
Love it.
Keeping us on track there, Marissa.
It's my job.
Yeah,
she's got some real stuff to do. So, no, like Marissa. Seriously though, we'll close out. Great job on the article. Like, look, and you know, looking forward to the Teddy Jenner podcast
soon, very soon.
Alrighty,
keep an eye on my Twitter in general. By the way,
Oh yeah,
yeah. So Twitter handles. I'm at Ryan.
Stuff's happening.
I'm at CF Jastrzemski.
I'm at Marissa _ and Jemmy.
I'm at Erie _ Barrister.
And of course, at College _ Cross is the main one. Go there and all that. We're on Facebook and Instagram too. So be on the lookout. We'll have periodic podcasts thanks to our expanded library that we have not taken any advantage of. And otherwise, yeah. Enjoy the summer that's never ending, apparently.
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Bring on winter.
Alrighty, so you know what we say. The weather's hot, you gotta stay hydrated. Thanks for listening.